Father, we thank you again this morning for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the privilege that you give us of telling the world and telling people that Jesus Christ died on a cross for them, that he shed his blood for them, and that because of the price that he paid on the cross, they now have the opportunity to receive the gift of eternal life. We thank you for the life that we have today through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that he was willing to come and undergo that baptism of suffering for us in order that we might be made righteous before you. And so today we are invited even into the Holy of Holies. And we can come in by the blood of the Lamb. And there we can actually have fellowship with you today. But it's all because of the cross, and it's all because of what our Lord Jesus did there. So Lord, as your people today, we just pray that you would impress on us again the importance of the cross. We know it's important, but we live in a world today where they want to discredit the cross. And so we just pray, Lord, that you will help us to be very bold in proclaiming the message of the cross, defending the message of the cross, and never have any message to share with anybody that has to, any message concerning salvation, unless it is rooted first and foremost in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, take your word today and use it to convict us, Lord, and also use it to remind us of the great price that has been paid, and that the blessings that we enjoy every day, just as we say we can enjoy the freedoms we have because of those who are giving their lives overseas, so we can enjoy the blessings we enjoy every day with you because of what our Lord Jesus was willing to do that day on that cross. We thank you, Father, and we give you all the glory. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Do you remember the first time that you ever heard about the cross? I can't tell you the very first time that I heard about the cross. But I know that I heard about it early on. I know that I heard about it as a child when I was going to church, because in our church, it was always preached about the cross and how Jesus died on a cross, and that Jesus died on that cross for our sins, and he shed his blood for our sins. And the cross is always at the center of the message. But more and more, we have gotten away from the message of the cross, so that today, it is no longer a very popular message in the church at large across the United States of America and in other parts of the world. And sometimes you wonder, whatever happened to the message of the cross? I want to read what I wrote here at the top. The Apostle Paul said, to paraphrase slightly, that he determined to preach nothing but the cross, which would be the same as Christ crucified, among the Corinthians. Today we have many churches that seem determined to preach anything but the cross. And in recent years especially, the cross is becoming something that is under attack by the very people that are supposed to be preaching it and defending it. I don't know if you've heard of the emerging or emergent church movement, but it is a false movement that is taking root right now as I stand here in many of our big-name churches. And these people from this emergent church group are being invited to preach even at places like Saddleback Church and to speak. And it is pure heresy, folks. And I have listened to one tape where these two men of the emergent church type are on there talking about the blood atonement and what a ridiculous fact it is to believe that God would require that his own son suffer and become, you know, they make fun of it, so they call him a whipping boy, that he would have to become a whipping boy in order for us to be saved. And that the idea that somebody had to suffer or die in order for God to be able to forgive is a ridiculous idea. That is the kind of thing that is happening right in the church. Paul said, I know that after I am no longer with you, he said the last time he saw the Ephesian elders out there on the beach as he was headed back to Jerusalem, where he would then be in prison and ultimately wind up in Rome, he said, I know I will never see your faces again. You know that I have preached to you day and night. I have preached in public, and I have preached house to house. And I can declare today that I am free of the blood of all men, because I have not held back preaching the whole counsel of God and preaching anything that could be to your benefit. But I know that after I'm gone, ravening wolves will appear from within the flock and will not spare the flock. And then he asked them to hold true to the true word and to the message, and to be faithful to the message of the gospel. But from the very beginning, when the gospel was first begun to be preached by the apostles, immediately there was a campaign to begin to try to chip away at it, to begin to undermine it, and to begin to corrupt it. And that movement has been underway the whole time, and it has gone through, we could give you some church history, it has gone through so many things. Every kind of heresy that there is. Where do these heresies come from? They come from right inside the church. They come from people that once knew their Lord and their Redeemer, and that were washed in His blood and bought and purchased by His blood, and now they are turning their back on it and saying that you don't need shed blood in order to be forgiven. That's why I had this cross put out here today. And I didn't want a lot else up here on this platform, because the cross of Jesus Christ is the center message of the gospel. And I know that we know it, but don't take it for granted, because it is under attack, as I say, not only in the world at large, but even within the very house of God, as we sit here this morning. This is a message that we must hold to, because the cross is essential. Some things aren't essential. Folks, the cross is essential. You take the cross out, you take a beating heart out of somebody, what happens? It dies. You take the power pack out of a computer or a cell phone, and what happens? It dies. You've still got all the components there. You've still got the screen. You've still got all of it. But you've got something that's dead because you removed the power source. And the Apostle Paul said that he had discovered as never before that the cross is the power source of the gospel. Of course it is, because on the cross where Jesus died and shed his blood, that's where the penalty was paid for our sins. If you take that out, you totally dismantle the whole thing, in the sense of you still would have the Bible, and it would still be true. And you would still have God, and He would still be holy and righteous and all-powerful and the Creator. And you would have men, and they would still be sinners. But there wouldn't be any bridge to God. How do you reconcile sinful men to a holy God who cannot countenance any imperfection or sin whatsoever? Does the scripture not say all have sinned and fall short or come short of the glory of God? Does the Bible not say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through, yes, Jesus Christ our Lord, but only because He went to the cross? If He hadn't gone to the cross, there wouldn't be forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. He had to die on the cross in order to become our Savior. And so it is absolutely essential, the message of the cross. And we need to keep it front, and we need to keep it center. And that is what the Apostle Paul said. And we should never tire of hearing about the cross. And we should never tire of being reminded about the cross. Because it is through the cross that anything that I am in the Lord, I am through that cross. That was the bridge. It was a gulf that could not be bridged. And the only way that it could be bridged was by the one who was totally holy and perfect, then taking his sin, our sin, upon himself, and then paying the penalty in full, and then rising from the dead. And that is what, how many have ever seen that little drawing called the bridge? And you do that illustration, it's a chasm. And good works or church attendance or this, all of it will fall short. You'll still, the only thing that bridges it is the cross. I like that little illustration because it shows the absolute truth. There is no other way. How long should we preach the gospel? Until as long as there is one sinner that needs to be reconciled to God, we will preach the message of the cross. As long as there is one person that you ask and say, are you sure you're saved? And they say, well, I hope so. We will continue to preach the cross. As long as there is one person that you say, if you were to die today and appear before a holy God and he were to say to you, why should I allow you in? As long as there is one person that gives an answer other than because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, any other answer, then we still need the message of the cross. And it has not lost its power. And Paul says that the message of the cross is not popular in many quarters. Hey, it wasn't popular then, and it's not popular now. It offends people. The Jews wanted signs. They had come to Jesus. And they'd say, we want a sign. He'd say, you're not going to get any sign except the sign of Jonah, because like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And he was alluding to his death and his burial and his resurrection. But it offends people. And the Greeks were hung up on what? Wisdom. We're called from the West. Our roots are in the Greek culture, and we're still hung up on knowledge and hung up on wisdom. And so we want to be able to come up with our own answers. We want to be able to come up with our own solutions. And man has always wanted to be able to come up with his own solution to the sin problem. But guess what? Man's never been able to come up with a solution to the sin problem. He's come up with a bunch of solutions that he thinks is a solution to the sin problem, but he's never been able to come up with a solution to the sin problem. Morality, religion, good intention, whatever else. Man has come up with all of those, and every single one of them has fallen short and has failed. Only in the gospel of Jesus Christ, only through the cross, only through the shed blood of Jesus is the problem taken care of. So yes, this is stuff we've been through before, but let's just go through it one more time and remind ourselves. For those who want to fill in the blanks here, there's a lot of them, but it shouldn't take too long. Number one, the cross and Christ's atoning death for us is God's solution for our sin problem. Again, man has always wanted to come up with his own solution. Ever since Adam and Eve sewed some fig leaves together in the garden trying to cover themselves, man has been trying to find his own solution. Ever since Cain brought what he knew from the beginning God would not receive, and then got mad when God didn't receive it because he was coming on his own terms and by his own idea, man has wanted to find a solution himself. And still, we have the Scientology, and we have the Hinduism, and we have so many things out there today. And are people jumping on that stuff? You would think they'd be smarter than that. But sinful man isn't smart, especially regarding issues of salvation. And the very message that men find offensive and want to reject, that is the message that will save them. That's why it says in the Scripture, the stumbling block, the stone of stumbling, has become the chief cornerstone. But the cross, this is God's solution. When Isaac and Abraham were on their way up that hill at God's direction, and Isaac says, Daddy, we have the knife, and we have the wood, and we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? What was Abraham's answer? God will provide himself a lamb, my son. And so through the cross of Christ, that is God's provision. When you see Jesus hanging on that cross, suffering for you, and the blood dripping down, and the mob around him mocking, that is God's solution for your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. Number two, only through the cross do I have And we could add to this thing, we could keep going and going and going and going. Because it's all that we tie the cross to forgiveness and cleansing from sin a lot of times. But think of all the other benefits that there are in the gospel. And all of them are because of the cross. The forgiveness and the cleansing, that's just the beginning of it. But yes, A, forgiveness. And God can only forgive me because my sins have been paid for by Jesus on the cross. Number two, cleansing. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. C, a new life. He says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Yesterday, some people were coming to me with number 6 on that little thing because they figured I knew, and they were right. Jesus said to Nicodemus, He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Then He says, for God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How did He give it? Lifted up on a pole like the brazen serpent. That whosoever believeth in Him. So through Him I have a new life. I have a new identity. That's D. A new identity. I am now a child of the King. I was a loser, now I'm a winner. I was a sinner, now I'm a saint. How did that happen? It happened by the blood of Jesus Christ. E, freedom from sin and the curse. You know, there was a curse that came from with sin. I have now been freed from the curse that comes along with sin. I am no longer under the curse. F, a new nature from God. The old sinful nature can't be reformed. Can't be reformed. Y'all ever hear that fable about the king said he had two people in his court, and I think one was, it's always, one of them's always the jester or whatever, but anyway, and whoever, and they said whether a cat could be trained to behave like a human. And so the one said, yes, he can. So he spent months training that cat, and that cat could walk on all on his hind legs. That cat could bow and curtsy. That cat could carry a silver tray and bring snacks and things to the guests. That cat, I tell you, he had that cat trained to do, knew exactly what to do in the king's court. So when the big day came and everybody's there to see this display, the cat, he's walking on his hind legs. He's got the tray. He's serving the people. Everything is perfect. The other guy's over in the corner with a little tiny box. He just opens it and turns that mouse loose. And I tell you what, that cat got everything he had ever learned. Well, that's a fable. But it makes a point. The old nature can't be reformed. You can send him to church. You can send him to Sunday school. You can teach him Bible verses. You can tell him all the church jargon. And then something happens and the old nature shows itself, does it not? Because it cannot be reformed. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to give us a new nature. And G is access to the Father. Wow. Access. That's big. That is big. Those Old Testament people, they didn't have it. H, fellowship with God. Isn't that something? Actual daily fellowship with God. I, the rights and privileges of a child of God. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, which means that everything that Christ has inherited, we are inheriting too. All of that through the cross. J, right standing. And justification. Right standing before God. K, restoration of all that was lost under the curse. Restoration. Not possible aside from the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. L, continual recourse for continual cleansing and forgiveness. If we say we have not sinned, we lie and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have continual recourse to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I just put at the bottom there, without the cross, I have none of these. All of these are because of the cross. So let's end here with number three. The cross must always be front and center. A, in our understanding of the gospel. If somebody says to you, what's the most important thing about the gospel? That Christ died for my sins. They used to say to us, if you were woken up in the middle of the night, you were in a deep sleep, and somebody shook you and woke you up, and you set up, could you spit out five reasons why you ought to buy a Toyota from Charles Barker Toyota instead of some other dealer? They said you should be able to spit that out in the middle of the night, just being woken up. You know how when you first wake up, you don't quite, but you should be able to say it. So if somebody says to you, what is the most important thing about the gospel? What are you going to tell them? That Jesus died for our sins, died on the cross for our sins. That's the most important thing. And you should be able to say it without hesitation, without even thinking about it. It's the most important thing. You take that, there's nothing left in our understanding of it. B, in our gospel presentation. And at some point in that gospel presentation, I know sometimes we converse with people and we're kind of, with the Lord's help, hopefully leading them along and all that. Somewhere in that conversation, whether it's that bridge illustration or something else, but somewhere in that conversation, it's got to come up about Jesus and him dying on the cross and why he had to die on the cross and why he qualified even to die on the cross for us. And what that means, because again, it is the power. What does Paul say here in 1 Corinthians 1:17, where we read it? He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, to preach the good news, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So do you hear what the Apostle Paul is saying? He's saying, God called me primarily to preach the gospel and not with a whole bunch of fancy words and language and logic and a whole bunch of stuff, because if I do that, the cross will be robbed of its what? Its power. Because the power is the fact that Jesus died on that cross for me. That is the active part of the gospel. It's what makes all the rest of it work. C, in our daily reckoning. And I think a lot of Christians struggle with this one somewhat. I read about a fellow that it was just a habit he had. How many remember Lee's Diner down here? Some of you remember Lee's Diner. You ate there at your own risk. Nelson Hodges showed up here wanting to pick up somebody one day after he wasn't pastoring anymore and put him on the back of his motorcycle and take him to Lee's Diner for lunch. I said, boy, talk about double jeopardy. B, But this fellow had a place like that and had his own little booth. And every morning he would sit there and it was just him and the Lord, you know. And the waitress knew him. She'd bring him his coffee. Said he, every morning he had a notebook and he would just write down every known sin in his life. And then one by one, he would claim the blood of Jesus over him and then mark through him every morning. Every morning. You know what we call that? Keeping short accounts. Does it not say in the scripture, reckon yourself dead to sin? Does it not say that? You know, reckon is an accounting term. And so, because Jesus died on the cross for me, as I confess my sin, I can reckon I am dead to sin. I am alive to God. It's by a daily reckoning. Christ died only one time on the cross for all of our sins. But how is it applied and how is it reckoned? Every day. The same blood that cleansed me when I came to Jesus the first time as an unworthy sinner, and he cleansed me of all my sins up to that time. For me, that happened about 2 weeks before I turned 12. How many sins do you think I've committed since I became a true believer about 2 weeks before I turned 12? That was 50-some years ago. Am I out there trying to sin, wanting to sin? No. But do you think I sin? We all sin. Jesus died one time on that cross for me. But how is it reckoned? It is reckoned moment by moment. That's how it's reckoned. And we have to reckon it. And we have to take our stand on it. And never doubt it. Because again, the enemy will always, well, are you sure you're forgiven? Are you sure you haven't gone one over beyond what the Lord will, you know? Whatever. Always trying to plant that doubt. It's reckoned by faith. And so in our daily reckoning, we go right back to the cross. That's what Jesus does. It says, I write these things to you that you sin not. But if anybody has sinned, we have what? An advocate? Who is he? Jesus Christ the righteous. So if the enemy is who is called the accuser comes to accuse me before him, what do you think Jesus says? I died for that. Any more questions? And so it's reckoned on a daily basis. So it needs to be front and center in our understanding, in our gospel presentation, in our reckoning. D, as our point of reference, it will always be our point of reference. Anything that I am today in the Lord, I am because of the cross. And it will forever be my point of reference, even in heaven. E, as our catalyst to worship and praise. We come to the Lord. We're having a little trouble. Come on now. I'm not going to ask for any hands or anything. But you come. I just don't feel like worshiping today. I just don't feel like praising today. How about remembering that cross? Do you think that might help a little bit? To want to worship and to want to praise Him. It really will. F. As our gateway to fellowship and communion, every time I enter the Lord's presence, it's a gateway through the cross, through the blood that Jesus shed, and G, as our motivator to constant humility and eternal gratitude. If I could claim one little bit of the credit, you know, then you know what we do. You know how we are as humans. We do. I did this. I did that. No. The cross is my point of reference. And it will produce true humility in us. Because no matter how much God might use us later or what He might do or whatever, it's all by what? By grace. His free gift, and that grace is all because of the cross. We'll never be able to boast. We'll never be able to be puffed up. But we will be able to give Him the glory. And so I would invite you this morning as we come, we're going to have our closing hymn and then we're going to have communion. But just at least in our hearts, you know, I'm not going to ask everybody to come down and stand down here, but in your heart, if you haven't really been to the cross for cleansing, you need to come to that cross for cleansing, because that's the only place you're ever going to get cleansing from your sin. And if you already know Jesus as Savior, and you've already received cleansing and all that, but a renewed commitment, Lord, I commit myself anew to the cross of Christ, what the cross represents in my life, and of course, what it represents for those who are lost. If it wasn't for the cross, none of us would have anything to preach. Not here in South Norfolk, not on Taliabu Island, not anywhere. Because the cross really is the center of the gospel. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the cross of Jesus. We commit ourselves anew and afresh, dear Lord, and we offer you thanks anew that you would love us this much. And help us to know in a world where the cross, the message of the cross is now under attack, that as your people, we need to be front and center always with the message of Jesus and him crucified. Because that is the only way anybody can come to you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.